That's the worst.
Feedback. Get your feedback. Get your feedback. We get your feedback. Please send us feedback so we can feedback you on your feedback. We love your feedback. This is the feedback portion of the worst podcast. So, there. It's the part of the show that is completely dictated by the listeners.
When you that's think, you.
When you think about it, right? I mean,
yes.
That's what we're talking about here. So,
yes.
This is feedback for the Last Jedi episode. And did you get some feedback?
I just like saying chink way.
Feedback.
I did not get any feedback.
Not? Is this the first time? Literally zero?
Not a single.
That one. Used to be, oh man, that's like old school season one Brobs when we used to go, I didn't right. get any, but bing, 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 bing. Then getting saying five things.
Then saying the things you got. But no, I literally yep. got nothing.
Well, I'll let you do chinkways.
All
just,
right.
Just to mix it up. But I'm going to start with a private Raven from Eric Ravens.
Ravens. We need to send Ravens.
Yeah, words. What's it? Does he have some kind of, like, sometimes he sends an email and sometimes he goes straight to you? Is there any rhyme or reason to that?
Well, he likes to go to the top sometimes. Just go straight to the top of the pyramid. So he just comes to me sometimes. I think he did this time because a big portion of it was good to have you back, blah, blah, blah. But then he basically blasts me for sucking immediately following that. Well, here's what the I'll let you hear it from the Raven's mouth right here. Glad to have you back and glad you figured out your copy and paste system for questions about your eye. Yeah, I did. And Holbert also in the Patreon just giving me eye blasts. Then this is the second paragraph of Ravens. I will say you sounded like you were not in top form this episode, though. You didn't have 10 more entries at the end of the episode. You completely allowed Chris and Joff to choose the winner without arguing one of your own. And Chris had to ask for the feedback electronic mail. What happened to we love your feedback, please send us feedback? I'll attribute it to having one working eye at the moment and therefore being at half strength, since that's the only possibility I can fathom. That said, I love the Star Wars episodes with all three of you, and I'm still looking forward to the answer to who's fucking Sheev.
Who's fucking Sheev? Yeah, it's coming. It's coming, baby.
Right? So he's basically saying I sucked.
That's rare. I disagree. I don't think you sucked.
Yeah, I don't either. I think he's being playful.
In re-listening, I just kept the whole autocannon back and forth was hysterical. Just Formasano arguing that it made sense.
Right.
I did.
He gets lost. He gets lost in defending everything yep. because it's Star Wars and yes. kind of gets blinded by it.
Right.
And just dreadnoughts. So the Raven continues. Chris dropped so many fuck yous at you both and at hypothetical disgruntled fans that I can only imagine he must have carried some pent-up anger from being called out for his batter catcher snafu in the last episode.
That's an all-timer at this point.
On the movie itself, I honestly barely remember half of the points you all bring up, particularly the first or the fist through the this lousy, beautiful town moment. That was amazing. But I do remember the inconsistent choreography with the throne room fight. I laughed about the disappearing guard weapon moment, and there are also multiple moments when Rey, in particular, is occupied and other guards are just standing there with their weapons down. True. By the way, if Snoke is dead, are they still guards? It's funny because I got to that point in the movie and I was like, why are they fighting them? I had the same exact thought that the Raven just dropped. I was like, wouldn't they just be like, fuck this. I don't need to just die for no reason now.
Well, at one point, doesn't Snoke like stop the guards from coming over to help? I guess they're just like bloodthirsty.
Right. They're just always fired up.
Right. That's the only explanation.
Just gratuitous that they're rage. Like,
oh, our leader's gone. Now no one can stop us from fighting.
They were also in Karate Kid.
Right.
What exactly are they guarding at that point? What is the point of this fight from the guard's perspective? Yeah, I had the same thought, Eric. I get it from a movie thematic standpoint, but practically speaking, wouldn't the guards have just run away and retired to a space diner or something?
Agreed. That makes sense.
I agreed. I almost put it on my list, too. I also want to ask Chris's ire and take the standpoint that I wasn't a huge fan of Luke's change. But it's not just because he changed. The change is jarring and not very well explained, in my opinion. Luke messes up in his grooming of Ben, and then his solution is to ignore his mistake and let Ben go around killing people while he kicks back and enjoys a green drink from nature. Yes, that is what they went with. Also, why does he even care about the Jedi texts if he's
texts?
If he's determined to be the last Jedi and cut himself off from the Force, that's a good point. Change and development is fine, but it just seems to come out of nowhere. Maybe I need to read some books to understand. Personally, I would have preferred him not being in the movie. I think it would have been just as interesting if Ben stumbles across Luke's grave and has a triumphant but also piteous laugh about it, or goes a bit crazy because he feels kind of guilty or something. In that scenario, we still could have addressed Luke's mistakes, and Leia could have quickly filled in that he gave up on the Force and passed away feeling guilty about betraying Ben. We as the audience would still get that Luke changed, but his nonsensical hermit persona wouldn't exist. I think they just want to do long-distance force projection, which is where is this? Sorry, it's multiple texts. Which is also ridiculous. I can buy it because Star Wars, but it seems silly that Ben falls for it for so long. That is true. That they just unleash hell on him with the lasers and auto cannons for like a minute. And then he just walks out and they're like, oh, that's not suspicious.
Right. Well, the Force.
Yeah, I suppose. And to be clear, I do like that the movie does new stuff, so I agree with your pick, but there are certainly problems that come from more than just trying new things. Lastly, I fully respect the answer to any space-related question from now on to be gravitational pull of the Dreadnoughts, Death Star, or any other large ship.
Yeah, that was... That was the artifacting moment of the night.
Yep. Gravitational pull. Nice work. So, thank you,
Raven, from Eric Ravens.
Current listener one. We should add that to his title every time we mention him. Mm-hmm. When I think about it. Go ahead, do Chinkways.
Chingwe, the most fun name to say on the show now.
Oh, easily.
I will start off by saying I am not a huge Star Wars fan, but my general feelings toward the Disney Star Wars movies have been negative. Don't get me wrong, you throw enough money at something and you are going to get some good action scenes, which there were, and they were entertaining, but I feel like the new Disney Star Wars movies are similar to Transformers movies. I heard Chris gasp as I typed that out. This feeling stems from something.
Transformers are just corporate, like product placement.
They just work in like product placements into the movie.
It's just a GMC commercial.
Is it just like, what if they had like an Xbox that just like turned into a Transformer?
Chinkway goes on. This feeling stems from something you touched upon in the podcast, which is a general lack of direction Disney has had with the Star Wars franchise. This would be my vote for the worst. Problems that occur because of this. 1. Many scenes, dialogue, plot points, etc. are copied from the original trilogy. Chinkway needs to see our Force Awakens podcast.
Right.
One that comes to mind that you mentioned is the jarring line, "Get your head out of your cockpit," which feels like Disney was just trying to bring back the "don't get cocky" kid from the original trilogy. That has been made fun of time and time again. Or the salt planet being very similar to Hoth, the snow planet, and so many others. Wait, so many other planets? Or so many other issues like that? I think I remember someone literally saying it is a salt planet so that they could differentiate itself from Episode 5. Episode V.
Well, they do have, we've gone through that, just having jungle planet, sand planet, desert planet, just picking the different elements and making a planet out of it. So salt planet makes sense.
Yep. Water planet. 2, the plot of the movie and the whole trilogy seems to just jump from MacGuffin to MacGuffin with minimal explanation in between, leading to an overall poor story, with many, but not all, of the characters feeling very shallow and leaving me feeling like, so why do I care about this person, place, or thing?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know that I agree with that all the way, but
I care a lot about Phasma. I mean, that I know. Right. They built that up enough for me.
Oh, great. We got that awesome Phasma Finn fight.
Oh, good. Oh, good. We got that sweet Phasma Finn fight we've all been clamoring for.
3, the introduction of new force powers was poorly executed. Disagree. I am willing to admit that new force powers are fine because Jedi, but many times these powers felt jarring. The best example is Leia, which was so poorly done I laughed out loud because of how ludicrous it both looked and felt. Yeah, I think everyone kind of did for that.
But wait, I will side with Chinkwe here a little bit. I don't mind the new powers being exposed, but he's right. They had to do a little more legwork. Because Leia's like barely has the Force through the whole franchise. Now she just goes to 11.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, but I have just bring myself back to life in zero gravity powers.
She just dialed it up.
Yeah. I agree with that, to some extent.
That example is in support of his theory, but I don't feel that way about anything else.
Yeah, because even the Jedi Zoom calls, they did it in Force Awakens, and they were like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah.
How am I seeing you? Can you see me?
Right.
Just early internet. Here, now you type something.
Force FaceTime? Also, Luke is the worst teacher, and his approach to teaching reminds me of the scene in Forgetting Sarah Marshall where Paul Rudd is teaching Jason Segel to surf.
Yeah, that's good.
But maybe Luke doesn't care about being a teacher and instead is focused on his bodybuilding career, as he must be shredded from his avant-garde approach to fishing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. It takes tremendous core strength to do that.
Frank Cinque. P.S. I do appreciate you remembering the correct pronunciation of my last name even after all these years. P.P.S. No need to read this part, but I'm reading it anyways. You guys should really give people a heads up on the topics for the show a week or two in advance, since engagement from the audience is a big piece of the podcast, and it will probably help prompt both viewership and feedback.
I don't know. We have differences of opinion on that.
Everyone's got an opinion on it, man.
I treat it like my classes. If I tell you what's coming, there's a better chance that you aren't going to listen.
Than if, like, oh, that? No, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, like, oh, I've seen that. Oh, I don't like that. But if we don't, at least, maybe you don't listen, but I think you'd be like, oh, what is it this week? You have a better chance of getting the person to come listen. That's just, right. I'm just giving Cinque the reasoning why we do that, at least from my perspective. If you're a listener, you're a fucking listener. If you're not gonna tune in because it's not something you like or whatever, I don't want you as a listener.
Boom.
I don't know about that, but that might be a little much. But yeah, that's why I kind of do that. So, we didn't get a ton of, I mean, it was just Ravens, Cinque, and this final one from Banish. Eddie must be busy.
Yeah, I got a lot of people being like, I'm just so busy in the summer.
So, yeah, yeah.
It is what it is.
So are we.
Yep.
Busy is the worst.
Agreed.
So anyway, Benish, thanks for another great movie episode. So what's next? Working at the theater? Maybe movie customer service nightmares? Worst part of making a movie? Worst remakes? Actually, worst remakes would be sweet. Or
yeah,
reboots or remakes or whatever.
Worst sequels.
I thought the selection was interesting. So nothing in the movie is the worstest, but it's the people who hate the movie for doing Star Wars things. Guess you're saying this is a really good movie. I think it is.
Yes.
I did think the episode was going to be a quick one when I heard Elmer Fudd say, "That's all, folks," randomly at 30:47. I did a double take on that one. Overall, really good. Chris did a great job, and glad Ryan is doing better. Thanks, Doug.
Basically, I'm worthless, is what Doug is saying. Good job, Chris, and good to have Rye back. The end.
Well, you didn't do anything special. Chris was the special right. guest. I was back. You were
right.
You've just been.
I'm just Old Faithful.
You just got it on lockdown. Thanks for locking it down.
You know it.
So that's it. That was your feedback. You sent us feedback. We gave you feedback on your feedback. Keep sending feedback so we can feedback you on your feedback. We love your feedback.
Don't be the worst.